Before we start, Strange Circle is a narrative podcast, best listened to in sequential order. So if this is your first time, why not go back to episode 1? Enjoy the show.
Welcome to voicemail. You have one unplayed message. Unplayed message from...
Hilly Sanderson. Hello, Derek. Did you get his message? He really wants to talk with you in person. I have warned you. His reach is long, and his temper is fiery.
Reverend, this is Derek Dunning.
Derek, please don't call me Reverend. It is no longer the case. Call me Jerry.
Okay. Hi, Jerry.
Is everything all right?
No. It bloody well isn't. She's leaving me messages on the phone, one after the other. And then he left me a message.
The Sanderson woman? Who do you mean, he?
Job. The bloody thing that's inside her.
You heard him speak?
Yes. He said my name over and over again.
And he sounded... different. Not like Hilly.
It was a completely different voice, Rev. More than one, actually. Like voices layered one on top of the other. I could have faked it in the studio, but...
You felt something.
Yeah. I mean... I wet myself.
Okay, Derek, it's going to be okay.
I need your help, Rev. I was listening to the message and my hair was standing on end, and then suddenly I was pissing my pants. Jesus. Oh, sorry.
God, don't worry about that. Blasphemy is the least of our problems.
So, you'll help me?
I'll try. I'm going to contact someone I've been working with. Can you hold on for a day or so?
I think so. I haven't answered any of her calls. They're just going to voicemail.
Well, just in case, don't listen to your voicemail. In fact, unplug completely.
Rev, I run a call-in show.
And I think we might be able to use that. I'll speak to you tomorrow evening, okay? Bye for now.
Bye. Welcome to this very special edition of Hour of the Dead. Barry, my engineer, has got his fake fangs in and he's raring to go. Thank you, Barry. Our special guest this evening is Gerard King, who used to be the vicar in a parish church. He's had some very recent dealings with the demonic, and he will be teaching us this evening about some lesser-known aspects of demonic possession. We are well on our way to Halloween, and I'm going to start things off with a scary story. We've had an email from a listener who just wants to be known as Goth Anna, or Goth Anna, not sure which, sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong. She's from Portland, Oregon, in the United States. So, turn off the lights, sit back, relax, and listen. Dear Derek, sorry for the long email, but I wanted you to hear what happened to me and my friend last Halloween. I was 16 then, and my friend Tina, not her real name, was staying over. My mum was really into Halloween, and she and my dad had dressed up as a pair of vampires to answer the door for trick-or-treaters. Me and Tina were in my bedroom, and because we were trying to spook ourselves, we got out the Ouija board game. We were playing around at first, tricking each other by moving the planchette, spelling out the names of boys we liked, that kind of thing. And then I swear that the atmosphere changed. One minute we were kidding around, and the next we were deadly serious. We were both looking over our shoulders all around the room as if something was watching us. Our fingers were still on the planchette and it began to move. It spelled out 3. We looked at each other and we both shook our heads. We trusted each other enough to know this meant we were both not moving the planchette ourselves. I asked it a question. What is your name? It responded, 3. We asked more questions. Where was it? Did it mean us harm? And every answer was the same. 3. By this time, we were completely spooked. It was late, and we decided to put the thing away and go to sleep. Tina was sleeping in a pull-out bed next to me, and we chatted for a while, still scared, before drifting off. I remember I woke up looking directly at my alarm clock. The numbers clicked over from 2:59 to 3 as I watched. I heard Tina moving beside me, and I rolled over to look towards her. She was standing up beside the bed. It was dark, but I could see her shape against the colour of the wall. There was a glint of light from her eyes, and I thought she was staring at me. I called out her name, and she didn't answer. She just stood there, looking at me. I think I called her name about 5 times before I heard her say, "What?" She sounded annoyed, but more than that, the voice was coming from down towards the floor. I panicked and quickly turned on the bedside light. There was no one standing there beside the bed. Only Tina, lying in the pullout, where she'd been all the time. No more sleep for me that night. Hope you enjoyed my story. Goth Anna.
Hour of the Dead.
Thank you.
Hour of the Dead.
Hour of the Dead.
Hour of the Dead.
And welcome back. I am joined in the studio by Gerard King, who up until recently was a vicar at a parish church up on Merseyside. Welcome, Jerry, and thank you for being here this evening.
You are very welcome, Derek.
Now, Jerry has had some recent dealings with the demonic, and he has offered this evening to describe two of the lesser known aspects of possession, those of infestation and integration. Firstly, Jerry, can you tell us all what infestation means? Is it as dreadful as it sounds?
Yes, as you can imagine, when a demon attaches itself to an object or place, this is called infestation. Typical signs of this include strange noises, disturbed pets, shadows, nightmares, and bad smells. And because demons are liars, they can even present themselves to the householders as benign and friendly spirits.
And this is one of the first steps towards possession?
It can be, yes. People living in such a state are extremely vulnerable to demonic forces, as you can imagine.
And your own church was the subject of such an infestation?
I believe so, yes. I was visited in the church by a possessed soul, a demon in human form. It was only for a few minutes, but this left the church in an unsanctified and vulnerable state. And something moved in.
What kind of things were you experiencing?
Things were moving around the church, especially when I was at prayer. I could hear its footsteps, its breathing, and sometimes strange moans, laughing and voices.
And sadly, I believe that your higher-ups didn't want anything to do with it.
You know, it's difficult for the Anglican Church to separate psychology from demonology. Certainly there are so-called possession cases which turn out to be illnesses such as schizophrenia, but some are not. In kowtowing to the mass secularism in this country, the church may become more appealing to the public, but it has lost the ability to defend itself against true evil.
Did you manage to remove this infestation?
Well, I had to leave the church itself, but I have teamed up with an expert who knows about such things. As you can imagine, I was not trained in the ways of exorcism myself. We are in the process of gaining access to the church in order to clear it.
Okay. And what about integration, the second of our topics this evening?
Well, this is perhaps the most frightening aspect of demonic possession. It is certainly controversial, and there are many interpretations. Possession should be defined as a demon taking control over a person's body, and not their soul. There is an immediate problem with will, as one's will should be a property of the soul and not their body, and yet the demon seemingly subjugates the will of the possessed individual. In most cases, this comes about in the period of time leading up to the possession. In the obsession period, the individual is under such spiritual attack that they eventually lose the will to fight the possession. Integration, on the other hand, involves the full cooperation of the possessed soul.
Full cooperation.
Yes. At some point, the demon reveals itself to its victim, and the victim chooses to allow the demon access to their body. There is not a lot of evidence for integration. As you can imagine, the integrated human is not in distress, nor is seeking help. So who knows how many people are wandering around, living their daily lives, integrated with beings of pure evil.
And you think you have met such a person?
Yes. The woman who visited my church and opened it up to infestation.
Okay, I'm just getting a message from my engineer, Barry. Do we have someone on the line?
Yes, Derek. We have Hilly Sanderson on line 3.
Hi there. This is Al Ashworth, creator of the Strange Circle podcast. I really hope you enjoyed this episode and invite you to visit the Strange Circle website for more facts, stories and clues. And if you enjoyed this episode, I would be very grateful if you could rate and review, especially on iTunes. If you're feeling generous, please sponsor me on Patreon. This podcast is a labour of love and any help you can give is gratefully received. You can find all the information at pod.strangecircle.org. Thanks for listening.
Is there still room for me?